It's time to get our view from the north. Clearly, Beat It has run its theme song course and been replaced. Always Michael, but now Smooth Criminal, the last cut on the Bad album. Find out what he's up to for Comcast Sportsnet online, CSNNW.com. He's talking Ducks, talking ball on Comcast. Channel 737 on your Xfinity system on Twitter, at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are things?
I like the new music.
I thought you would.
Yeah. Change it up a little bit.
Yeah,
We went Beat It for like 2 years.
Right. Now we've advanced, I believe, 4 years from 83 to 87, but we stay right in the wheelhouse. So element of logic and well done there. the NFL's got the Hall of Fame game tonight.
That's right. I forgot.
That's crazy. A real, like, exhibition NFL game. So in Canton, the ceremonies are this weekend. The obvious no-brainers were LaDainian Tomlinson, Jason Taylor. I thought Kenny Easley was overdue, but I want to get to three guys. Warner, Trigger Man, greatest show on turf, nearly won a title with the stinking Cardinals. From your chair, he legit picked to make the Hall?
Oh, I kind of felt like he had to win that Super Bowl against the Steelers and lock himself to getting in there. But I do believe, and this is going to come up with a Terrell Davis argument too, that if you are really, really great, but even if it's only for a short time due to age or injuries or what have you, I think in the NFL especially, you should still get a pass into the Hall of Fame because injuries are so prevalent in that sport. A career can be cut short any second. So, you know, why hold it against a guy because he doesn't throw for 50,000 yards or rush for 12,000 yards because of injury when obviously for a 3 or 4 year period of time, he was one of the very best in the league and won championships and was an MVP, which is the case for Terrell Davis and for Kurt Warner. So I'm not against it. I do think there is something to be said for longevity and racking up stats and doing it for a long time like the Favres and Mannings and Brady's and guys like that. But I think you can make an exception, especially for guys who win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and with TD, it's amazing. He only had 4 full seasons. He missed his last 3 years, 12, 11, 8 games. And like you said, won a Super Bowl, had a 2,000-yard season. Safe to say, and talking to a Bears fan, had that Gale Sayers element.
Exactly. Gale Sayers set the precedent for that, really. I mean, when you think about it, and he was absolutely phenomenal, and everyone knew that. Everyone knew he was one of the best ever at the time when he got hurt, and just because his career was cut short, do you not honor him as being one of the best ever? I don't think you can, especially when someone's that good.
All right, that's a good one. Now, the owner, a caller said this week, you certainly can't deny he has the fame part down. Might say a little infamy in there, but one of the most vocal owners, I'd say, in any of the sports we've ever followed, Jerry Jones, Hall of Famer or no?
Well, if you're going to put owners in the Hall of Fame, how do you not put Jerry Jones in the Hall of Fame? Whether you love him or hate him, he's done a lot of things for the league. Clearly, I mean, they won 3 Super Bowls, and yes, Jimmy Johnson was the number one catalyst of that, but who hired Jimmy Johnson? And that's the owner's job, right?
Sure.
So, you know, he took over the team, he revamped it, he hired Jimmy Johnson. He also was an owner who did meddle in the whole, you know, personnel thing too. Which worked out well, and then hasn't worked out all that great the last 20 years in terms of winning Super Bowls, but he has done a decent job in terms of gathering talent. I mean, most GMs with his track record would have been fired 5 or 6 times by now, but since you're, you're the owner, you're not going to fire yourself, but he's not going in as a GM, he's going in as an owner. And I would have to say, if you're going to ever put owners in the Hall of Fame, he would have to be one of them.
Yeah, I kind of came full circle on that when they started to talk about the financial impact and the stadium. Mm-hmm. And he was really the first one to start generating individual revenue for a franchise rather than what they whack up as part of collective bargaining. So yeah. As somebody who hates the Cowboys, maybe I was letting my heart get in
the way. You don't just hate.
Yeah. Yeah, old school, like from the old neighborhood. All right, we're talking with Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sportsnet. Let's get to the Ducks. I think Media Day, Coach Taggart more than hinted he was open to whoever could catch the ball might end up at wide receiver, regardless of what position was next to their name on the roster. And now, so some interesting developments at practice. You tweeted it out today. What two guys got time at receiver at two different positions?
Yeah, Brendan Schooler has been moved from safety to receiver for the time being. We'll see if it's permanent. And Taj Griffin is going to try some slot, which makes sense. They're really, really deep at running back, obviously, with the three main guys coming back. Taj was the fourth guy last year. They just added three freshmen, so you don't necessarily have to have Taj there. And having him learn slot, at least, gives you the opportunity to have another way to get him on the field. I don't see him contending at all. Obviously, not going to start there because Charles Nelson's going to start there. I almost said Charles Johnson. you can put packages in where you can use him in different ways to get him the ball. If you get him the ball in space, you know, fireworks happen, right? Schooler is interesting because Schooler started 10 games at safety last year, and I think a lot of people thought Schooler was, you know, the future of that position. But it was my understanding and talking to sources coming out of spring that he missed all of spring with an injury, if not most of it. But they weren't all that high on him at safety based on last year and reviewing film. And they really like Brady Breeze, who redshirted last year mainly because of injury. But he was a four-star, big-time get, a guy who's obviously a future of the defense. And then they love Billy Gibson. And then you got Diamondor, who's a true freshman. He was in time for spring. And then you got Diamondor Lenore come in, who was the number one rated athlete in the nation who's going to play safety. So they feel like they have some more athletic options there than Schooler. I wonder if... I wonder if he's going to have a chance. I mean, I haven't seen the kid play receiver, so I'm not going to say anything yet. But there's going to be a lot of talent at receiver, both in the class that just came in and next year's class. So it's going to get crowded there. So I wonder if he gets lost there as well. We shall see. But he's a good football player. It's just going to be interesting. See if you can find a home on this team.
Now, one of the most cliche comments when a coaching change is made is culture. Doesn't mean it's not important, especially if a move was made because the team started to slip. You hear things like camaraderie, unity had become a problem here. Willie Taggart knew it right off, and whatever he and his people have done, would I be safe saying right now, and I know it's early, that they've created noticeably better chemistry, even though it's kind of a cliche?
Yeah, there's no doubt coming out of last year that was going to have to be fixed. Accountability, discipline, team chemistry, and finding leaders were going to be must. And even for the old staff, had they stayed around, they were going to have to fix that. Like they had at different times in the past. This comes up. It happened sometimes, and it happened last year. And so whoever was going to be head coach, they were going to have to fix that. And Taggart came in, and he's done a great job in trying to fix that. And what he's created so far is an environment where the players, don't feel like going to the HDC is work. They want to be there to be around each other, to be around the coaches, to improve and work and get better and enjoy themselves and feel like they're part of a family and a team. And there's a lot of, obviously guys, get around each other. Guys treat each other way different than women do. Like, women compliment each other, guys put each other down. That's how you show your love for your friends, is how much you talk about them, right?
Right.
So they tease each other a lot, and they tease the coaches, and the coaches will give them, stuff, obviously, because they can, but the players can give it back to them a little bit, within bounds. You can't go too far. You can't talk about their mama, but, you can talk about them a little bit. So it's just created this, this harmony, and this more players are hanging out together is another thing Tiger was talking about. You see certain players leave the HDC alone. Now they're leaving in packs and groups because they're hanging out more. You got different players from different positions hanging out together, not just all the receivers and all the linebackers or whatever. You have guys sort of cross-pollinating, so to speak. So it's all been good. Now, we'll see what happens after they lose a game or two. But I think when you have the foundation early of that, the team chemistry, that you can absorb bad moments better than when you're if you're a little bit fractured, because then that really splinters you when things go south.
That makes sense. A few final thoughts for Aaron Fentress, Comcast SportsNet. Little update, the TV schedule. You mentioned it maybe a couple weeks ago as far as talking Ducks with Jordan and Anthony and yourself. What's the schedule? What day and time and anything we need to know to keep an eye out there?
Yeah, the Tuesday before the first game, whatever Tuesday, the game is on the 2nd, I think, so whatever Tuesday that is, and then the Talking Duck starts that Tuesday, I think 7 or 8 o'clock, and then that Friday night will be, I think they're changing from hashtag football to just Ducks Go Ducks. I think it's called Go Ducks, something like that. Friday night will be that show, and then I think we have a post game show after each game as well. So yeah, we started cranking up the shows here in a couple weeks.
Amazing. Back to the Ducks. I've asked a few people this week about, I don't know, maybe the feel in recent years. It felt like football around here, I don't know, maybe taken too seriously, the secrecy, almost an elitist attitude. And you know, I get that might have been the style that fit those coaches, and you couldn't argue with the success. But now you have Taggart talking about fun, and this isn't rocket science, and obviously the wins and losses are the determining factor. But I don't know, it just seems, would I be off base to say he's got a feel to him about maybe along the lines of kind of what the doctor ordered around here?
Yeah, you know, the whole closed practice thing, which Chip started right before the LSU game in 2011, many of us in the media have always believed was a reaction to the Willie Lyles investigation. It was his temper tantrum. He was mad because it was being covered. There were certain reporters he used to talk to, you know, on the side that he stopped talking to because they were reporting on it, and it needed to be reported. And he, you know, so a lot of us sort of believe that was a reaction to us reporting so, you know, aggressively on the story. That was a national story, by the way, and they did violate rules.
Right.
He claimed it was to make the team better. I don't think there's ever been any evidence ever unturned or revealed that can prove that it makes the team better. They were undefeated the year before with open practices. Okay? And they've never been undefeated since, so I don't know. My whole thing has been at least open them for a little bit, at least have some open for fans to come watch, at least have maybe the first 15, 20 minutes open so the media can get fresh pictures, get some video, and that's what they're doing right now. I don't expect them all to be open. They won't all be open, obviously.
Sure.
I don't think they necessarily need to be. But at least open them up a little bit, make the fans feel more part of the program. Because even though fans would defend it, I knew a lot of boosters, longtime fans, like not the bandwagon fans, the longtime fans have been on forever who hated it. They let Chip get away with it because they were winning.
Right.
They didn't let Helfrich get away with it because they were winning. But they hated it. They hated the fact that they were told, no, you can't come watch practice. What? I donate $10,000 a year to this program. I can't come watch practice. Well, I have season tickets, or I've been a fan for 35 years, or whatever your level is, you can't come watch practice, like, ever? Really? So that was a little over the top. So I think Taggart's doing the right thing of making it more accessible. Hopefully that'll last.
Well, my counter to that was, I remember seeing pictures of Snoop Dogg running pass patterns at USC practice.
And, while they were winning national titles.
And they were doing pretty well. All right, so as far as quarterback, 4 months ago, I forgot who I was talking to. It's going to be like, this will be interesting with Johnson and Wilson pushing Herbert and maybe Burmeister in the running to be the backup. And now it's like Justin Herbert and fingers crossed.
what? Yeah, is that a new freshman that just came in? I didn't see.
Yeah.
Is he a four-star or a three-star?
He's late. He just cleared the NCAA clearinghouse. So what level of concern is logical when you think behind Herbert, you pretty much have Taylor Alley's 14 passes?
Well, you have to hope that Burmeister will be ready enough to, you know, be serviceable with a strong running game and a better defense. I mean, look, if Herbert goes down, you have zero chance of winning the Pac-12, unless Burmeister is the next Herbert. So that's the thing we don't know. Like,
sure.
This time last year, everyone's thinking about Prukop and Johnson, right?
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, Justin Herbert becomes a phenom. So we don't really know what Burmeister has. Now, they like him. Everyone says he's always in there watching film. He's always in there working on his game. He's got a live arm. We saw that in spring game. He's got good legs. I mean, the guy can move. And you can tailor an offense around that, especially if you're running the ball really well with Freeman, et cetera. But, you know, I can't say you'd have to panic if Herbert went down, because we just don't know. But I would argue that if Herbert goes down, your chances of winning the North or the Pac-12 are done. But you can still have a winning record with Burmeister if everything else falls into place. Beyond that, I think if you go to Alley, yes, I think that's trouble. Although I would think 2 years removed from being thrown to the fire, he'd probably be more mature and maybe able to handle it better. I just don't know if he had the developed skill because he hasn't played quarterback in 2 years.
I always say in a case like that, you don't have to hit the panic button, but just make sure you know where it is.
Exactly. And here's the side of this. Taggart likes to run the quarterback.
Right.
Like, not just in the zone read, where you keep it because there's no one out there, but, like, call plays where the quarterback runs. I mean, his quarterback, Flowers, at USF rushed for 2,700 yards over the past two seasons combined, which is just insane. So I don't know if he's going to use Herbert like that, but he likes to. you could put your quarterback in danger when you do that, obviously.
All right. Good info, as always. We appreciate the time. CSNNW.com at Aaron J. Fentress on Twitter. We noticed we didn't have your criminally insane Twitter war this week. We got off easy. Yeah, it's.
I think maybe I successfully muted all the nut jobs. We'll see when the season gets rolling.
Trust me, they'll be back. All right. Hey, Mr. Fentress, always a pleasure. You have a great weekend as well.
All right, take care.
Take it easy.